This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend, that is Mandy Navarro. And, of course, follow him on Twitter. You're listening on the podcast at Manny underscore Navarro and catch his work there at The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe and support Manny and all the great writers there at The Athletic. First of all, Manny, how you doing on a beautiful Friday? How you feel that you don't have to cover any football this weekend? How about that?
It's great, oh. It's nice to have a weekend off, right? And back-to-back weekends, really, because last Saturday I wasn't covering a game either. So my kids and my wife are loving it. I got family down here from New York and spent some time with them. But, I was going to start. I think I caught you at the end of a conversation talking about probably Tua and NFL quarterbacks. It sounded like that anyway when I signed into the system. And I'm going to tell you, for the first time in years, I ordered myself, because I'm a fan of this guy, I ordered an actual T-shirt with his number on it on the front of Justin Herbert. He's my fantasy quarterback, and I absolutely love this guy, man. Like, I'm so wishing the Dolphins had considered drafting this guy instead of Tua, because he's just such a monster, and he's made me a fan. He's made me a huge fan, besides the fact that I got him in fantasy, just watching him play, man. He's a beast.
Yeah, he's putting up some amazing numbers. I still need to see him in, you know, clutch moments, big games, and all that kind of stuff, pressure, to see how he handles all of that, because the introvert stuff and all that, that's when that will come to roost. If he does have those kind of issues, when the pressure is really up. Right now, he has no pressure. He has no expectations. Kind of like the Dolphins. They had no pressure, no expectations their first 2 years. This year, pressure and expectations, and they haven't been able to meet it. So that's my next test for Herbert. But right now, physically, there's no doubt that he looks absolutely the part. Right now at that spot. Yeah, I will definitely agree with you on that one. How will they handle the quarterback position from here on out, by the way, for the Canes? Will it be Van Dyke, or will it be King whenever he is healthy?
Well, I mean, it all depends on how severe that shoulder injury is. And my understanding, I've heard this from multiple people, again, outside the program, people who are asking me, is he out for the year? I hear it's an AC joint. Manny Diaz is being obviously as scant with details as possible, right? That's what he does, because it's an advantage for him to get everybody to think that this guy might come back this year, because now you got a game plan for two quarterbacks, right? At least, you know, psychologically, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping the other team has to worry about the Eric King coming back.
About the running quarterback to the pocket passer.
To the pocket passer, right.
So different offense.
Right. I think he's going to hold on to that as long as he can. He said that the Eric was back moving around the last time we got a chance to talk to Manny, and I asked him that question. He said, you know, he'd been moving around a little bit of practice. I don't know what any of that means. To me, it's all about the shoulder. It's how much pain has he experienced there. My understanding, expect to see a lot of Tyler Van Dyke. I think that's going to be the quarterback, and until Jake Garcia gets healthy and over that foot/ankle injury, it's going to be the Tyler Van Dyke show.
And let me tell you, that throw he put in the corner of the end zone, that was he showed me some, dude. I mean, I still think King deserves to play. Right. King has made the ultimate sacrifice. King is the real leader of that team overall. You're not going anywhere anyway, so he's kind of earned that right. So if he does come back, I would give him the job, because this is his final year, man. I just wouldn't want to, you know, screw the kid over when he's given you so much. I mean, let's be honest, Manny. He's the only reason to watch Canes football. You know what I mean? And this past week, this last week, at least we saw some of the young guys, and maybe, you know, see what the future looks like, and Van Dyke showed me a little something. But this season, and even last season, King is the guy that puts on the show every single week, man.
Right.
It's just a guy, you know? It just
No, he and here's the thing. I think, you know, if his shoulder is screwed up, he could still come back and play in some capacity, right? He could still be used in a way that he hopes to catch on in the NFL, which is most likely receiver, running back, you know, kind of a guy that could be a special weapon in an offense. So if he can't throw the football and his shoulder screwed up for the rest of this year, which I don't know, this is a speculation, then maybe he comes back and he gets to showcase himself that way. And I still think he'll be somebody the defense have to worry about, right? You never know, coming on an end around, having him throw the football, whatever wrinkle you can throw in there with him and use him, I could see him doing that because he cares that much about this team and cares about winning. He was on the sideline for the last game. He's there at every practice. So he's engaged and he's invested.
He's just pure class, man. God, he's just –
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. His parents did a great job.
Yep.
Does he have both? Do you know?
His father died, and his mom beat breast cancer last year. I mean, this kid's gotten over so much stuff this last year and a half. But yeah, his father died, but his dad was hard on him. You know, him and his brother.
His dad and his mom, they did a phenomenal job.
They did
with that young man. I know his dad is up there looking down. He should be so damn proud of the way that young man is carried. Any father would want their sons to go, you see that kid right there? That's the guy you want to emulate. That's the guy you want to follow, because that's how you carry yourself in life, period. You know? And so I like him. All right. Blake James. Mm-hmm. So Blake James was on with Packer and Durham. He was really smart. He went on the ACC network where they suck your ass and they won't ask you anything, you know, really difficult. They'll kiss your ass. I know, because, dude, I did a show once on ESPNU and I was filling in. I think I was filling in for Packer, actually.
Right.
But they didn't realize what they were doing when they put me there, because they put me there on the day that Meyer got busted with protecting the guy at Ohio State.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So yeah, you know
fresh meat. Fresh meat, yeah.
Right. So you know me. I'm not a Meyer guy, and I'm going to let him have it. But you can't do that on ESPNU. Right. Just like if you do a show on NFL Network or an NBA channel or Major League Baseball, because you're tied to the league, you got to kind of kiss their ass. You can't really go after the league or anything like that. So on ESPNU, they don't want you going after their coaches or their teams. They kind of want you to be fluff, you know?
Right.
And so I went after Meyer, dude, and the higher ups got it. And safe to say I was never they told me I would never get another shot on ESPNU.
Well, it's like you and I are brothers, man. Whenever I get the calls from the national guys and they bring me on, they're like, wait a minute, this guy doesn't hold back when he talks about Miami. Like, they're like, I can tell just by the interviewers. They're like, wow, okay.
Right, exactly. Right. So he goes on, which they didn't ask him about Manny either, because, you know, obviously, again, ACC Network is just fluff. It wasn't well received on the comments from ESPN and Herb Street.
Right.
He says it wasn't well received because it was inaccurate, James said on Thursday during an appearance on the ACC Network. When you look at what our program has done and the investments we've made under Dr. Frank in football and athletics overall, it's been significant. Can we do things at a higher level? Without a doubt. That's college sports. The bar is always being raised. The statement was just inaccurate, and it caught us by surprise. It's frustrating to have something like that out there. We have great alignment. And that sounds all well and good.
Right.
But see, here's where I would tell him, so then why have you hired Shannon and Golden and Diaz? Why haven't you gone after a top-tier coach that, like Texas A&M, steals FSU's head coach and gives them $75 million? You know what I mean? Right. We got programs all over the country that are stealing one defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator from another team and paying them a couple million dollars. So don't tell me that you are doing everything that you possibly can when, yeah, you did something with the practice facility and all of that. But when it comes to your coaching, it's substandard stuff that you go after. You don't go after the creme de la creme of college football. So what are you, you know, you can't be really that pissed at what Herb Street says in a way.
No,
and to tell me that, you know, you're doing the best that you can, give me a break.
It's all spin. You know, you make the argument to where you can defend yourself, right? And Miami can defend itself when it says that it spent money on football in the sense of upgrading the facilities, building an indoor practice facility, putting
So does South Alabama, bro. Okay.
Right. But listen, oh, this is what they do, right? They spin it away from what the point is. And I'll tell you this, Herb Street didn't even really hit it on the head, right? Like the way he left it, when you go back and you replay that video, he doesn't come out and flat out say, hey, where's the spending on the coaching? He just says,
So
again, like, it's like people want to, you know, because they know all the fans are running amok, right? All the fans are pissed. They want answers. It's like, okay, we'll talk about what we want to talk about, but only in the way that we want to talk about so that you think we're addressing it, but we're not really addressing it. Like, it's just, it's media spin 101, right? Like, we're not talking about the real subject here. And I said this to you last week when I was on the show, that it's not, nobody's addressing the issue. The issue is, how much money do you spend on a head coach and why aren't you spending more? Where's the money to buy out Manny Diaz and to bring in a coach that has a track record, a winning track record, right? Like that's what we're talking about.
Basically, when are you going to go steal somebody else's coach?
Right. When are you going to do that? And the answer is never. So we are going to string you along and tell you about how much we care about the football program without ever investing in the most crucial part, which is the head coach. So, again, like, I've been beating this drum. I've been covering this team for 2 decades, Big O. You live in the city. I've been telling you this for 2 decades, that this school is always going to, like, it's going to make it about what it isn't, right? Like, their mindset is, because of the talent in the backyard of Miami, you can get anybody to be the head coach here who is going to, if he does his job right, is going to win because he's going to convince the players here to stay home and win. And now, you've been at this for so long that none of the players that are alive now that are high school recruits want to come here because they've never seen you win.
Right.
So what advantage is that? Where does that philosophy work? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it with Randy. Why? Well, Randy's Miami born and bred, right? He knows the city. He knows all the inner city kids. He's going to make it work. Then they decided, you know what? No. We're going to go get the guy with the tie because he's going to be cool. He's going to be the one. And he came in and he wanted to turn this into the Big Ten. He wanted to beef all these linemen up that were undersized and make them like Anthony Chiccolo and make them defensive tackles and just a totally wrong philosophy. And then after all of that, after 10 years of that, you know, you go looking for a coach and you happen to get lucky that Mark Richt gets fired at Georgia. And that's what you do. You say, well, look, we're going to get this guy at the end of his career because he's going to be what we need. He's the experienced head coach. You get him for cheap. Okay, he gives you $1 million to finish your indoor practice out of his own pocket. And then, yeah, you know what? The next search, we're going to spend 24 hours, and we're not even going to interview anybody else. We're just going to take the guy who made the turnover chain, and we're going to redo the Randy thing. That's what they did.
Right.
That has been the last 15 years of Hurricanes football. And the results are the same. And I'll tell you this, though. I've been spending a lot of time researching this because I think down here, we like to point the stats how, well, Miami-Dade and Broward County, they got the most NFL players. This is the most talent-rich area in the country. We say that to ourselves every single year. Oh, there's a lot of kids here that don't just go to Miami and not become anything. They go other places and become nothing. There's a lot of guys here who get overhyped as 4- and 5-star recruits, and the coaches down here get so much pressure to be like, oh, you got to get this guy. A lot of them don't develop. And if you go back and you look at the old great Canes teams, it's not just Dade and Broward County guys that they get.
Oh, yeah. They were from all over the country. Bro.
So there's this misconception. People banging drum. Oh, until we get a coach that knows how to recruit South Florida. No, dude. Like, until you get a coach who's as good as Jimmy Johnson and Howard Schnellenberger and all the guys who had the vision, the Dennis Erickson's of the world, who changed his offense, who was one of the first to use that spread offense and beat teams with the speed that they had at receiver. I mean, that's what you need. You need the complete package. And it's not just about recruiting South Florida guys. It's not. That's not the case.
I'm with you. Kozar wasn't from here.
No.
Dorsey wasn't from here. Darren Krein wasn't from here. Warren Sapp wasn't from here, right?
If I'm correct. Oh, how many NFL quarterbacks has Dayton Broward produced in the last 20 years? You can count them on one hand. He played. Yeah, one of them played last night.
Yeah.
Geno Smith as a backup. A Teddy Bridgewater, right? Yeah.
God, I felt so bad for Geno. so bad.
Yeah.
He played so well, dude. And then the kid gets tripped up, trips himself up, and that ends up being an interception. Yeah. And it's like, damn, I felt bad for, because, you know, he's been terrible. And like, wow, he looked really comfortable yesterday. I was like really impressed with Geno yesterday.
He had a good game. I mean, yeah. But again, like this town produces a ton of receivers, right? We've seen that. There's a ton of receivers in the NFL from South Florida. There's a lot of DBs, but offensive linemen, defensive ends. I mean, you got the Bosa brothers.
I mean, you
get a handful of guys that really go on and do anything. And I think there's this misconception that, man, there's so much talent here. I'm telling you, you go and you do the research. A lot of these kids don't end up getting drafted. They don't really turn into anything in college. There's a lot of those kids that become busts and end up coming back home or transferring to a Bethune-Cookman or a Florida A&M. And we all just assume, well, Larry Bluestein, who I love, is a great dude. All these guys say we have so much talent. But if these guys don't become anything here and they don't become things anywhere else, how good really is that talent?
Right, right. Well, but as long as it's good enough to help that university to win, you don't have to get to the NFL. So that's one thing. If you are leaving here and you are helping a university win, then you did your job, actually. You know what I mean?
I think the bigger issue is that there's so much of a premium put on the players down here. Like, in other words, there's 34 star kids or 28 four-star kids or five-star kids in South Florida. I think the rankings for a long time have overhyped these kids. They're just not that good. They go to college and you have a lot. I mean, I'm telling you, that's going to be one of my next articles for The Athletic. You go through the list and you're just like, holy cow, how many of these guys did nothing? Like, even at college, like, there were disappointments at their school. There's a lot of them and they're good kids. They just don't pan out. And and I want to know what the reason is for that. I'd love to know why the percentage is as bad as it is.
That Northwestern class that was
the 2008, hyped to hell. Yeah.
It was one guy that made it to the NFL, Spence. That's it.
One legitimate. Streeter got drafted, I think, in the sixth round, too. But you're right. I mean, Jacory Harris, he got a workout with the Dolphins, ended up in the Canadian Football League where he started one game.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm going through the list since 2005.
I believe
it. It is. I'm in 2009 right now. I'm spending a thorough time just going player by player to see exactly what happened to him of the four and five star kids. And I'm telling you, you sit there and you say, man, we've been saying for years how great this area is. And yes, there's still more NFL talent that comes out of this area than any other, but there are a lot of busts.
All right. So this will segue to my final question. What's going on with recruiting? Where does it stand with the future of the successor busts that are being recruited for the University of Miami? What are you hearing? Are any folks rumbling right now about decommitting?
Well, I think there's a lot of kids taking visits, okay, where they're still committed to Miami and they're going to Florida or Georgia to watch a game and to spend the weekend, which is going to happen. I think when Manny Diaz had a good season last year at 8-1, he could tell kids, listen, you take a visit somewhere else, we're going to drop you. Can't do that this year. You've had nine commitments and you're 2-3. And these kids are saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a trip. You can't tell them no. Right.
Right.
I mean, so that's what's happening right now. I still think a lot of them are committed because they can't go to Alabama or Georgia because they don't have real offers from those schools. But if they did, if Florida or somebody else wanted them and really was like, hey, we're going to give you one of our spots, they might jump. So it just comes down to that. I just think the players that Miami has committed right now, the nine commitments, it's kind of like Miami's probably the best team that they've got on their list. And they're interested in visiting others. It's the way it works.
Right. Okay. All right. So it's not like you're getting guys that are committed to or being looked at by other bigger schools, and yet you're taking something away from a bigger school. That would be
the biggest thing.
Better scenario.
Right. The biggest thing fans need to understand when it comes to recruiting is whether or not something is a committable offer. Because all of these kids love to say, I got an offer from 47 schools, Alabama, blah, 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 blah. But Alabama, an offer now is like basically saying, we're interested in you. We might take you if you fit the scenario that we like. We're going to watch it your senior year. And if we think you're good enough, we're going to really push at the end to take you. That's right. What it is. And Miami has
Or if we see somebody better, then we may not be that.
We're going to leave you high and dry, which is the case. Miami's essentially working with guys that might be on the radar of Alabama or Georgia, but they don't really want them. Because if they did, they'd be committed there. That's the way to explain it.
Sucks. All right. So a big article coming from Manny from The Athletic. So you definitely want to check that out. Make sure you subscribe. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Manny, have a fantastic weekend, my friend. We will talk next week.
Good talking, though. See you soon.
You got it. Good stuff there.